Hello, everyone. Welcome. And today is Monday, 2024. I am Solid Blue Sister. I am late today, and this is my turn to talk. And this has been a day for me. But I'm here. Hey, Brina. Hey, Frankie. I hope you guys are having a wonderful day. I am trying. but I am here. So I'm having a good day. Outro song picked out today, so we're gonna do a recycled one. Sweet Angel Bear, welcome. Minnesota, welcome. Okay, hey Juju, welcome. All right, so again, I apologize for being late. I literally got in the house about 20 minutes ago, so I'm running around doing things. So I apologize. And things are not working the way I want them to work. But anyway, are people better than their worst actions? And is there really good in everyone? So I know we kind of talked about this, you know, before. But are people really better than their worst actions? You know, if you are a serial killer, you know, again, we said this before, deep down, are you really good? And I came up with this topic because I was recently reading about Eric Smith, who murdered a 4-year-old boy. Eric Smith was 13 years old, red hair with freckles. And I'm saying that for a reason, because I'm going to get to that. Murdered a little boy, 4 years old, by the name of Derek Roby. And he did this in 1993. So he was released and paroled in 2022. And he was supposed to get 25 years to life. He served 28. And when they asked Derek why he did it when he was 13, I'm sorry, when they asked Eric Smith why he, hey Blunt, welcome, why he killed this little boy, why Eric killed this little boy, he said, I don't know. He was just there. So come to find out that Eric Smith said that because of his red hair and his freckles, that he was always teased, always made fun of, and he was bullied. But is that a reason to go and bully and kill someone else? I say no. So I went to look at some video on him and him as an adult. And one thing that he said was, when he was being paroled, was that he's changed. He's found Jesus. You know, everybody finds Jesus. And he wants to get married, get a job, and have a family. And when I heard that, when he said that, I kind of started laughing to myself. I'm like, okay, so Derek Robey would be 32 years old. He would have been 32 years old in 2022. So he also could have gotten married, got a job, raised a family. But that was taken away from him. So, hey, Lou, welcome. So, I ask, are people better than their worst actions? Yes, Lou, I am. Thank you. Are people better than their worst actions? You know, and sometimes you try to dig down and say, yes, they are. Everyone deserves another chance. You know, you have people say, oh, just give me another chance. Give me another chance. But again, you know, should a 13-year-old boy spend the rest of his life in prison? And Lou says, apparently only if they repent, but there's no proof of anything. I mean, right. I mean, anyone can say, you know, I'm different. You know, if I could change places, you know, and that's one thing that he did say. He says, I know my actions have caused a terrible loss in the Robey family. And for that, I am truly sorry. I've tried to think about as much as possible about what Derek will never experience, his 16th birthday, Christmas, anytime, owning his own house, graduating, going to college, getting married, his first child. If I could go back in time, I would switch places with Derek and endure all the pain I've caused him. If it meant that he would go on living, I'd switch places, but I can't. Now, to me, and this is just me, a lot of people seem to say that, if I can switch places. No, do you really want to switch places with someone that is dead? No, you wouldn't, because everyone wants to live. And I think that those words, again, to me, are hollow. When they ask you why you did it, you say you don't know. And then you mention, you know, to the psychologist that you were bullied because of your red hair and freckles. Well, you know what? People get bullied for a lot worse. For a lot worse. And they don't kill people. So again, our people better than their worst actions. Yes, Brina, he was 13 when he did it. And the letter that he read, that the part of the excerpt of the letter that I said about I know my actions, he read that on public television while he was in prison. And then at the end of the statement, Eric Smith said that he cannot bear the thought of walls, razor wire, and steel metal bars for the rest of his life. He has also apologized to Derek Robey in interviews. Well, Derek Robey is dead. Hey, crazy lady, welcome. You know, you cannot stand the thought of walls, razor wire, and steel metal bars. Well, do you want that? Or do you want to be 6 feet under? Or better yet, you could be at home with your family if you just didn't do it. I mean, murder to me is a big step. It's a huge step. Eric Smith, Lou Rott, murdered a four-year-old boy in 1993. Eric Smith was 13 years old. And Brina says, I mean, I do believe people can change, but not everyone that finds Jesus are necessarily good. Sometimes they're just following a script and saying what sounds good. At 13, your mental isn't fully formed. Brina, no, it isn't, but how many 13-year-olds go out and kill people? Does it happen? Absolutely. But I'm sorry. I just feel that, again, this is just me, an eye for an eye. You kill someone, you should die. And you should die the way you killed them. And if you're 13, 12, 10, you know, they say that what, 10, 11-year-olds shouldn't be, you know, tried for murder and sent to an adult prison. Why not? I mean, Eric Smith was sent to a juvenile facility and then he was transferred to an adult prison, which to me is appropriate. Crazy lady says, I am proof of that, but I haven't murdered before. I mean, murder to me, it just takes it to an entirely different level. And I'm not talking about self-defense. And murder is a game changer, like Crazy Lady says. It is a game changer. And is it, you know, and again, you know, everybody seems to find Jesus. Or they were a model person. They're, you know, they were just the prisoner of the year. They were a mentor to other people. They became a priest while in prison. They got their law degree while they were in prison. They helped other people learn how to read. They learned how to read themselves. They never got into any trouble. They were the custodian or whatever. They helped the warden. But you still killed somebody. After he had been in prison, I do believe it was like, after he had been in prison for 15 years, he was going up for parole. He was denied. Hey, Spiderhoff, welcome. Until one day, in 2022, they let him go. And Smith was denied parole 10 times from 2002 to 2020. In 2012, the parole board cited a concern for public safety, in addition to Derek Robey's parents, to his release. You know, so again, I you know, just ask. Okay, Lou says there's a guy in New Mexico who's charged with double homicide on home arrest. I mean, that's just crazy. And he flashed all his weapons on social media. So, I mean, so do you think that people, again, you know, you have that serial killer? Yeah, Lou, I'm going down the serial killer road again. You know, I mean, are they better, you know, than their worst actions? You're saying yes, they are? Okay, so Lou, you're going to have to explain that one to me. Because I don't think you can get any worse. Nothing can be worse than murder. You know, I mean, do I think people can be rehabilitated? Yes, but does that mean they should be released from prison if they murder someone? No. That Yates guy looked and acted normal. I mean, I believe that if you're not going to, once again, I say, if you're not going to get the death penalty, and I do mean like, do like they do in Russia and some of these other places where you get the death penalty, they take you to another room, bam, bam, you're dead. You don't get a chance to go back to your cell. Then, like I said the other day, that your family should be the ones that are, you know, paying for you. You know, they should be the ones that are taking care of you. But I do not believe that someone who, especially if someone murdered someone just viciously, it was just a vicious murder. I mean, if it was just something that was just totally vicious, I don't think that they're better than their worst actions. Because for someone to kill someone in such a horrific, vicious way, I mean, even though shooting someone is horrific, you know, no problem. It popped up that you wanted to join. you know, I just think that people, you know, I don't know. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. What crazy lady said? I had a retort for that. I'm just gonna keep it to myself. You know, so, you know, if you have someone, I mean, how would you guys feel? And some of you, you know, may have been in this position, whatever, but how would you feel? You know, if someone said to you, if I could trade places, because I just think that that's such a hollow, it's just a hollow. It just doesn't mean anything to me. I would trade places. And good people don't intentionally hurt others. But I mean, I do believe that. Okay, let me ask this. Do you think good people can how do I want to say? What do they say? Can they premeditate? Do you think good people premeditate a murder? What I mean by that is, someone has, let's say someone killed your family member, and they got off. Everybody knew that he did it, but he had a great lawyer, whatever, or he was let go on a technicality. And you, the good citizen, you premeditate that murder. Do you consider that person a bad person? Lou says, once you murder someone, your mind is wired differently. Well, if I had a spiral uniform. I hear you. Maybe the guilt is eating them up so much that they can't even live happily anyway. But Brina, but they're living. They're living. They may be miserable, but they're drawing breath every single day. Okay, so premeditated. So you're saying that that person is an evil person? If you premeditated the murder of someone who murdered your loved one and they were let go on a technicality and everyone knew that they did it. I mean, you have people who have been let go and they brag about stuff that they've done. Look at people the stupid people who get on social media and they video, you know, the stuff that they're doing. They're showing the things that they're doing. I mean, you have people that do that. That's probably why so many soldiers come back messed up. Okay, so I'm playing both sides here. Okay, so I'm playing both sides here. So let's say that someone killed your family member and they were in court and they were one of those, you know, smart alecky people who, you know, give the family the finger, they're laughing, all that stuff. But they get let go on a technicality. The police forgot to do this or they didn't do this. Or the prosecutor didn't do this, or whatever. They get let go on a technicality. And they laughing. They said that they did it. But they can't get tried again. And you go and you say an eye for an eye, and you premeditate that murder. Is that person evil? Or is it that they're just trying to get revenge or retribution? Yes, Minnesota, I do. I would return to the evil side and handle it myself. Call me evil. See, I don't, you know, I don't think that person's evil. I think that person is trying to get satisfaction. Especially if the perpetrator laughed in my face, they laughed in my family's face, giving me the finger, calling me names and what have you. Spiderhawk says, I'll be waiting outside for them. Tupac reference, revenge is the sweetest thing. Okay, you're saying person that started was evil. Okay, I'm getting paid back. I theory and torture have a couple. I don't understand that, crazy lady. I in theory torture have a couple. I don't understand that. You know, but I mean, if everyone went around getting revenge on the people that did things, you know, I mean, and And, you know, people, you know, again, I say, are people better than their worst actions? Again, because, you know, like I said, they went and found Jesus. You know, ooh, can I have another chance? I mean, some of these people are repeat offenders. A serial killer is a repeat of a offender. At what point, you know, do you stop giving people second chances? If you're in a domestic violence relationship and your partner, male or female, is whooping your butt every day, they're a repeat offender. So when they come home with flowers and say, oh, baby, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it, and then you say the wrong thing, and that sets them off again, they didn't find Jesus. They're not sorry. They don't care. I mean, just like the people that sometimes, you know, that when you're talking to them, you have to be very careful about what you say, because if you say certain things, it's like a trigger. And then it's a whole big thing. And it's like, oh my God, you know, it's like, what do I say? Do I say this? Do I say this? Do I say this? Until you just get to the point where, you know, you just don't say anything. Are those people really good? Is that person who's whooping someone's butt every day, is that person who's beating their child every day and says, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. Mommy is sick. Mommy's not feeling well. Well, why doesn't mommy go and get help? Why doesn't daddy go and get help? Are they really good? Just because you brought home a toy for them? Are they really good? You beat your dog every day. You abuse your animals, but then you bring them a bone, and they're wagging their tail, you know, because dogs are very forgiving. But then you beat them the next day. Is there really good in that person? I don't think so. Okay, and Crazy Lady says, I have some theories on torture I would try. Okay. Okay, I don't believe in trying to get revenge for everything, but murder is different. Okay. Does God send people as karma? Lou, I believe that he does. Whoever you believe God to be, because I do believe in karma. I believe in karma 100%. I'm sorry, I had to bring up the animals because people do. You know, and then Brittany, you say, I don't believe in trying to get revenge for everything, but murder is different. But what if, you know, you have someone who did something to your child that they absolutely should not have done? I'm sorry, I'm coming after that person. Exactly. Don't mess with children. I'm coming after you. We call it revenge, retribution, payback, whatever. But is that justified? Do I become the evil person then because I came after you? You know, you hear about the stories about the father who beat up the person who was trying to abuse their daughter or their sons. That might be their worst action, but is that person really good? I believe that person possibly is. They never done anything before until they got revenge on someone who hurt someone that they love. And I'm not talking about somebody stole your car, somebody broke into your house. Yeah, I'd be pissed at that too, and I want to get you back. But I'm talking about murder. or any type of sexual abuse, I'm coming after you. That might be my worst action. Does that mean I'm a bad person? I don't think so. But if I was that other person who consistently did things like that, I mean, the people who sit and, you know, watch children and follow them and then grab them and take them. Whether it be a stranger or a family member, you know, that is premeditated. That's premeditated evil. But me planning to do something back to you, maybe premeditated, I don't think that's premeditated evil. That's premeditated payback. You know, what do you do with these judges who are sitting on the bench, who are supposed to be fair and impartial? And a young girl gets raped by this evil person. But the judge says, well, she shouldn't have been wearing that dress. Or she shouldn't have been wearing that. Your Honor, she was 10. Because we know there are those judges out there who look at young girls. So instead of saying she shouldn't have been wearing that, what about, even if she was 25, how about saying he should not have done that? What do you do with those judges? Because I would be pissed at the judge too. And victim shaming is something that they do. When rape victims have their court date and have their, you know, have their day in court against their person that abused them, they're the ones that are victim shamed. Well, I understand in, you know, 1964, you did this. Well, you work as a stripper, so don't you think that you, no, do you think that maybe that man should not have touched me? Or that woman should not have touched me? What do you do with attorneys that do stuff like that? Do you want to get them back? Those are attorneys that consistently represent people that they know are guilty. That they know are guilty. The person may have even said that they did it. But they're still trying to get them off. And they're trying to, like Brennan said, they're trying to victim shame you and make it the victim's fault. Are they better than their worst actions or their actions? Because I think if you're defending someone, you know, a piece of crap, I don't think you're necessarily a good person. Someone's past doesn't give someone a pass. No, it doesn't. You know, but what do you do? So again, I come back and ask, are people better than their worst actions? Do you want to hear someone come up to you and say, oh, I'm really sorry that that happened to you. I'm really sorry that my son did that. I'm really sorry that my daughter did that. Or as you have some people say, I forgive you. I'm sorry. I'm not that good of a person to say I forgive you when you've done something that's absolutely heinous to me. I also have a hard time, you know, saying I forgive you to people who are repeat offenders who consistently repeatedly do the same thing over and over. I'm not even talking about murder, just simple stuff. How many times am I supposed to forgive you until you just stop? Is that harsh? Yeah, maybe. But why don't they just stop? Why does it seem like that the people who are always doing the wrong thing always want or even sometimes expect forgiveness? But if you don't give it to them, then all of a sudden you become the bad person. Just asking. Well, yeah, they want the forgiveness to feel better. So Brina, let me ask this and to everyone else. If I said, yeah, I forgive you, and I just said it like that, yeah, Brina, I forgive you, would you believe me? So do you really want forgiveness, or do you just want to hear the words? Does it matter? Does it matter if the person really forgives? Or do you just want to hear the words? What if I say, yeah, Brina, I forgive you now. Get out of my face. Right. That's no, it's not. So again, I say, do you just want to hear it, or do you want it to be true? Do you just want to hear the words, I forgive you, or do you really want those words to mean something? Okay, so what if it's not? What if it's not true? What if it's not true? I mean, what if I told you, yeah, Brina, I forgive you. Yeah, so-and-so, I forgive you. Then I turned around and I, you know, said to Blunt or Juju or somebody, say, I wish Brina would just go somewhere and just get out of my face. And they went back and they told you that I said that. Would that make you feel worse? Would that make you feel better? Would you care? And Brina says, you can't make someone forgive you, but I'm just saying that I think some people need to have it. Yeah, I mean, I do believe they need to have it too, but I think they need to have it. And this is me being a cynic. I think that they need to have it more so on a selfish level. Hey, shorty. Hey, Power Girl. I didn't see you pop in. Welcome. You know, I think that they need to have it more on a selfish level. That they need to hear you say, I forgive you. Whether, you know, and whether or not, you know, people believe it or not, I don't know. But see, me personally, for me, I'm not going to forgive someone if I don't mean it. So you, if you ask me for forgiveness and I don't give it to you, then when I do say I forgive you, you'll know that I mean it. Because I think empty words are a waste of time. And I think when someone like Eric Smith says, if I can change places, I think those are empty words, because you don't want to be dead. You don't want to change places with the person that you murdered, the person that you killed, especially when he turns around at the end of his statement. And after he reads this on national TV at the end of his statement, when he says he cannot bear the thought of walls, razor wire, and steel metal bars for the rest of your life. So was that more of a plea that you're saying that the right things because you can't bear to be in jail, in prison for the rest of your life? Screw you. You killed my 4-year-old child. You bashed my 4-year-old son in the head and then strangled him. But you can't bear the thought of razor wire and 4 walls for the rest of your life? Screw you. Am I going to forgive you? No, I'm not. And it was selfish, Brina. It was selfish that he's mentioning his physical environment in the same apology letter that he's reading on national TV. And the fact that he's even, you know, seriously? Is he really good? Deep down, is this 13-year-old boy who's now a man, is he really good? And he's now out of prison?
What's up, Sada? What are we talking about? Strangling a 4-year-old and knocking them out. They got me kind of worried and upset. But what are we talking about before I put my 2 cents in?
I mean, just the fact, are people better than their worst actions? Can you do something really, really bad? And is there really good deep down?
No. Because you thought about that. You really meditated on that. You know what I mean? By killing my 4-year-old and strangling him and bashing his head, because that's what you wanted to do. So before I get my hands on you and do you the exact same way, I'd rather you rot behind them 4 walls with them sit them that themselves.
Okay, so Shorty, since you're up here, let me give y'all some background. Okay, on what this boy did. And this is when I come back to the premeditated thing. When I say, let's say that, you know, Eric Smith was supposed to, you know, be in prison. He was supposed to get 25 to life. He served 28 years. Okay. On August 2nd, 1993, when Smith was 13 years old, he was riding his bike to summer camp in a local park day camp. 4-year-old Derek Roby was walking alone to that same camp. Smith saw Roby and lured him into a nearby wooded area. There, Smith strangled him, dropped a large rock on his head, and sodomized him with a small stick. Smith then took Kool-Aid from Robbie's lunchbox and poured it into Robbie's open wounds. The cause of death was determined to be blunt trauma to the head with asphyxia. At around 11 a.m., Roby's mother, Doreen, went to the park to pick up her son, only to find that Roby had never arrived. After 4 hours of investigation, Roby's body was found. So, I ask you, it is, Brina, just disgusting on so many levels. And this boy was 13 years old, and it's like, okay, not only do you, you know, hit this boy and bash his head with a rock and then you strangle him, but then you're going to sodomize this little boy with a stick. So my question again is, after 28 years in prison, me, the family, do I still have the right to go after? I mean, I have not gotten over the fact that my child was not that my child died of cancer or, you know, he got hit by a car by accident or something like that, or, you know, it was an earthquake or something and he died. He was murdered. Do I still have the right to say that justice was served, he did his time, I should move on? Because how do you tell someone
Hell
to move
no.
on when
no, that's not justice. That's not justice. That's just God getting you away from me. And now you getting out the door thinking that was time served. Hell no. You let me catch you. Let me catch you on these streets. Cause if I catch you, if I'm in a car, I'm gonna run your ass over. And I'm gonna keep running you over. Cause ooh, that's a hurtful feeling right there. You having your kids walk come somewhere from somewhere, and you know that's the same routine, and then he ain't coming back home, and then they found the body because this person did that, because you didn't even know that little boy, and you just wanted to do that, and then you had the nerve, not the nerve, the audacity to do that, sodomize him with the stick, and get the Kool-Aid out of his book bag and pour it in his wounds. Bruh, I'm telling you, don't let me get my hands on you. I'm telling
okay,
you.
Okay, so on August 2nd was the murder. On August 8th, Eric Smith confessed to his mother that he killed this little boy. So I don't know if it was the fact that it had gotten national attention or what it was. But I remember this case. And, you know, I don't know, like I said, I don't know if it was the fact that it got national attention, that he ended up confessing, that it was just on his mind. So let me ask this. Say you guys are the jury. Okay? You guys are the jury. And he's getting out after 28 years. And his mom or dad, and thankfully they are still married, because a lot of couples get divorced when there's a murder with a young child. This Eric Smith gets out of prison. You see him one day, and you kill him. You the jury, and you kill him because you're still grieving your son, because you feel that 28 years was not enough, that he should have spent the rest of his life in prison.
Man,
would you let the parents go, or would you convict them? Would you say that they were guilty?
They was guilty. Fuck that. I'm in my feelings right now, Solid, with this situation here, because I got 5 kids myself.
No. I'm saying the parents of Derek Roby, the little boy who was murdered, they went and killed the perpetrator. Would you convict the parents because they were grieving
no.
their child? Okay, that's what I was asking. Okay, because see, me, I would say not guilty.
Not guilty. Why would they convict the parents? See, this is the thing I don't understand about these people. They don't see it as if they have kids of their own. You know, if somebody did that to their kids, they wouldn't have no fucks in the world. What happened to that person? Because that's their kid. They don't see it like that. That's hurtful. You see your kid that morning before you send them to school, and then boof, they gone. Because some mother sucker want to sit up there and want to go kill that kid for no reason. Nah, man, nah, not, no, no, nah, no. Nah. That ain't no justice stuff. Because that pain there, you spent 9 months carrying that child. And then make him to get them where they need to be at. For them to take that kid life for no reason, no apparent reason, nah, not at all. No, that's hurtful. That's gonna be in your mind for the rest of your life. Then the pictures, and then, you know, everything in the house reminds you.
Okay, so let me give you all some more background. Eric Smith was tried as an adult, making him the youngest murder defendant tried as an adult in New York State history. He was subjected to extensive medical testing. Shorty, can you mute for a bit? They examined brain function, hormone levels, and found nothing to explain his violent behavior. According to court documents, like I said before, he was tormented by bullies because he wore thick glasses, red hair, and freckles. Now, this is what kills me. A defense psychiatrist testified to diagnosing Smith with an intermittent explosive disorder, a mental condition that causes violent, unpredictable behavior. However, the prosecution's expert said the disorder was rarely seen at Smith's age. You know, so now they're coming up with all this. Now he has intermittent explosive disorder. Okay, so how many people, you know, you have violent and unpredictable behavior? Okay. Okay, and so does that mean that that's a reason to acquit? That's a reason to let this little boy off?
Nope, not at all. You should keep. Oh, Jesus. No.
You know, I'm just saying, and you know, and I know I try to play both sides of the fence, but I know on this one I'm on one side mostly. You know, but I truly believe that anyone who is released from prison and does not serve a life term for murder, if they did it, not if they were, you know, if they found that they were innocent, or they, you know, we have people in prison, like we said the other day, you know, who were serving and they were innocent. But I'm saying if they did it, and you know that they did it, if they get out of prison, I'm sorry, if the family members go after them and I'm on that jury, not guilty.
Not guilty at all. Listen, if I was a judge, I'll tell him the death penalty off rip, straight up. You ain't living no more, because if you let him out, he still got that same tendency to do it again. You understand what I'm saying? He could do it to anybody when he get out on them streets. You understand what I'm saying? Then what? If he do it again, then what? You gonna lock him back up and like, damn, I shouldn't have let him back out again because da-da-da-da-da. You understand what I'm saying? Just knock him off. Bump that. Just knock him off. The world be better for you and me.
Okay, so let's go back. Wait, hold on one second. Okay, let's go back to May 21st, 1924. Two boys, 18 and 19, Richard Loeb, L-O-E-B, and Nathan Leopold. Two wealthy students at the University of Chicago who kidnapped and murdered 14-year-old Bobby Franks, who was a relative of Loeb. He was murdered in Chicago. When they committed the murder, it was characterized as the crime of the century. When the two men were arrested, Loeb's family retained Clarence Darrow. If any of you all are familiar with Clarence Darrow, he was a famous defense attorney at the time. And he criticized capital punishment. He did not think that capital punishment should be allowed. But prior to the murder of Bobby Franks, they felt that because of their status, because they were rich, they could do whatever the hell they wanted. So they, you know, they would break in places, commit petty thefts, whatever. But they wanted to do something, you know, they wanted to pull off the perfect crime that would garner public attention and confirm their self-perceived status as supermen. Leopold and Loeb were 19 and 18 at the time, and they settled on kidnapping and murdering a young adolescent for their perfect crime who happened to be a relative of Loeb. They spent 7 months planning this. on how they were going to abduct him and dispose of the body. On the afternoon of May 21st, 1924, Leb rented an automobile under the name of Morton D. Ballard, and they offered Bobby Franks a ride home as he walked home from school. The little boy initially said no because his house was less than 2 blocks away, but Leb persuaded him to get in the car to talk about a tennis racket that he had been using. Okay. Leb sat in the back seat with a chisel. Franks was sitting in the passenger seat in the front, in the front seat. Again, this little boy was 14 years old. Leb struck his, again, this is his family member, his relative, several times in the head with a chisel, then dragged him into the back seat and gagged him where he died. They were trying to figure out where they were going to dump him. They removed his clothes and left him by the railroad tracks. To obscure the body, they poured hydraulic acid on the face and genitals to disguise the fact that he had been circumcised, because circumcision was unusual among non-Jews in the United States at the time. So, Brina, now I can ask you about the premeditation. Yeah, that's evil.
That's crazy.
But Leb was the first to confess. He blamed it on Leopold that he had killed Franks while Leb drove. He was the driver. Leb was the murderer. You know, but then the other person said, no, it was him. People thought that it would be not guilty by plea of not guilty by reason of insanity, but Darryl concluded that a jury would almost certainly end in conviction and the death penalty. So he entered a plea of guilty, hoping that the Cook County Circuit Judge would impose life in prison. Leb was attacked in 1936 by a fellow inmate. And Leopold, he got out of prison on parole in 1958. So again, 39 years in prison for a horrific murder. Shorty?
I'm here. I just comment. Oh, God.
The body, hold on for a second. It was a culvert, but it was by a railroad track. So anyway, go ahead, Shorty. I think that Leb got what he deserved by being killed by fellow inmates, but you release my child's murderer?
Oh, nah.
I mean, stabbed him in the head with a chisel?
Oh, no.
You pour acid over his face and his genitals?
See, I'm in my... Oh, God. This subject got me in my feelings.
Oh, wait. But in 1958, Leopold attempted to set up the Leopold Foundation to be funded by the royalties that he received from his book, Life Plus 99 Years.
Wow.
To aid emotionally disturbed. the word that they used at the time was retarded or delinquent youth, but now we say I'm mentally ill, you know, and, you know, the state, they voided it, you know, saying that it violated the terms of his parole. But again, it's like, oh, now I'm going to set up this foundation because I want to help other children who, you know, are disadvantaged. No, screw you.
No, that's a negative. You sat up there and plotted and planned against your own people, number one. Number two, then you want to blame somebody else, but y'all both was in cahoots about this? And, Jesus. I hope you get released. Let me find you in the streets. Because I'm going to do you the exact same way, probably even worse. Your body probably won't get found. Matter of fact, your body won't get found. Believe you me, your body won't get found. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me ask this. You're familiar with Sweetie Pies?
Yes.
And Robbie Montgomery and the fact that her son was convicted of killing his own cousin.
I seen that.
Okay, for the insurance money. This was recent, guys. This was in the, you know. So my question is this. For $450,000, this is what Tim wanted. $450,000 life insurance, which is really nothing.
None at all.
So my question to you is, this man who was already had been released from prison for, I think he had robbed somebody or something, or attempted murder. I forget what he was in prison before. And Miss Robbie had lost another son who was killed, but she had her successful Sweetie Pie chains, which she is bringing back to St. Louis. But this boy on national TV is, you know, when Andre was murdered, oh, that was my cousin. Oh, yeah, the people that did it. I mean, he played up to the cameras for a long time. And then they find out that this is what, that he was the one that killed his own cousin. I mean, you know, and then he consistently says, I didn't do it, I didn't do it, I didn't do it. But the people who he hired to do it, they snitched told on him because mm-hmm. they didn't want to get in trouble. I mean, they're already in trouble, but it's like, if I go down, you're going down with me.
That's right.
So again, are they better than their worst actions? Tim had already been in prison prior. He had already spent like 10 years in prison for a prior act. Why are you risking going back? So again, I say, is there really good in everyone? Does everyone have the ability?
Nah.
To be rehabilitated?
No, not all. Because like I said, they did it once. They got locked up for it. Then you let them out, they gonna do the same thing again. Then what? You gonna get them locked back up? Then you gonna be feeling stupid because you let them back out and let it happen again instead of just knocking them off or just keeping them in there for life.
Yeah.
And let the inmates handle them.
Yeah. And Brina says, do they consider narcissist tendencies? I've been hearing that term a lot in the past few years. Yeah. I mean, that people who don't feel anything for others. So, anyway, y'all, that's all I got. Shore, do you have any other words of wisdom you want to impart?
No, solid. I'm good.
I mean, it's a lot. I mean, and the thing about it is, you know, the cases that we were talking about today, unfortunately, there are so many more like them.
Yep.
You know, that child that you have that's killing animals, and they're killing cats and squirrels and rabbits and what have you, and they're terrorizing the family dog. You know, is that the kid that you need to look at twice? Him. And, you know, because get they could do, him. Yes, yes.
Yes, they let that go. They think that's okay. It's not okay. Because I seen when I was living up before where I'm at now, I seen this family of, I'm not, you know, I don't got no nothing towards nobody, but they was like Mexican kids. They, because they had ducks around there. They, I actually seen them with my own two eyes sit there and strangle baby ducks. Sit there and strangle baby ducks and laugh at it like it was funny. And I told the mom and they ain't do nothing. I'm like, whatever. I seen it again. So I told the office and they thought I was playing. So I sat there and video recorded them one night doing that. Because they did it in broad daylight and at nighttime. Video recorded and showed the office, and that's how they got them kicked out. I don't know what happened to them after that, but you understand what I'm saying? But I'm like, you need to watch your kid, yo. Like, he could come around and kill one of his brothers or sisters or come after y'all because y'all ain't doing what he wants y'all to do or give him what he want. Because he'll sit up there and he ain't had no care in the world. His eyes was like lit up like he was so excited doing it. And he had no care. He's soulless.
But you know what, Shorty? Brina says those kids need help. But are some people beyond help?
Yes.
Are some people like, because to me, kids like that, if when they start young like that, I'm, you know, there's that threshold that they cross that you can't help them. Yeah, I mean, yes, it is worth trying, but those are the people, hey, boss, welcome. I mean, those are the people who I would, you know, it's like, hey, can I go over Bobby's house to play? No.
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 But then you got them. But see, that's the thing. They'll drag your kids right along with them. Like, come on. Come on. You want to do something fun? Come on.
That's why you really have to stay on your children and really have them understand, you know, mm-hmm. that no, you don't need to be around this person because, you know, this person will do this or that. And that's hard
and
sometimes. You know, your kids want to
get off with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-mm.
So, but yeah, Well, y'all, that's all I got. Like I said, I don't have, I hope you're doing well, boss. Thank you for coming. I don't have an outro song, so I'm going to recycle something that I had. Let's see.
Thank you for always letting me up on your panel. Solid.
Well, Shorty, you always have something to say. Oh. And thank you for letting me pop on and off the other day.
Oh, no problem. You know I'll always love when you come through. Solid.
Oh, you know what? You know what? I don't need an outro song today because since Shorty is up here and Blunt, are you still here? Is Blunt still in the house? Or did she leave? Okay, Blunt left. I was just going to sing happy birthday to Blunt because Blunt's birthday was yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but she is gone. So I'm going to end with... Ella Fitzgerald, someone to watch over me, because you know we do need someone to watch over us because there's some crazy people out there. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Crazy. So we will leave it with this.
There's a saying old says that love is blind. Still we're often told, seek and ye shall find. So I'm going to seek a certain lad I've had in mind. Looking everywhere, haven't found him yet. He's a big affair I cannot forget. Only man I ever think of with regret. I'd like to add his initial to my monogram. Tell me, where is the shepherd for this lost lamb? There's a somebody I'm longing to see. I hope that he turns out to be someone who'll watch over me. I'm a little lamb who's lost in the wood. I know I could always be good to one who'll watch over me. Although he may not be the man some girls think of as handsome, to my heart he carries the key. Won't you tell him, please, to put on some speed? Follow my lead. Oh, how I need someone to watch over me.
And that is the late Ella Fitzgerald. Everyone, thank you so much for coming today. I do not have a show posted tomorrow. I was not going to do a show tomorrow, but I am going to do a show tomorrow. So I will post a show for tomorrow. But thank you guys for coming. I enjoy the rest of your day or an evening wherever you are. And Shorty, thank you so much for popping up and everyone for liking the show. Bye.